Ramsey TV.
Martin Zander, are you finally going to get to the topic that you promised us? Or are you going to stick to your topic? Or are you going to stick to your subject matter? Or are you going to go off on another rabbit trail? How should I know? How should I know? I'm only human. I am only human. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I am going to attempt today to talk about the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Let's see how that works out. Good morning. I am Martin Zander, and it is my pleasure and privilege to be talking to the body of Christ over this amazing technology. I was griping about technology yesterday and how it is devastating us. But with every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. And the silver lining here is that I am able to communicate directly to you, to bring you the evangel from headquarters, and to reassure you that the Spirit of God makes its home in you, to reassure you of God's promises. I didn't invent them. I'm just passing them along. And to let you know that even though we are living in a horrifying, harrowing world, God's plan is proceeding apace. It is proceeding as the script was written. There have been no new scenes written in at the last minute. There has been no activity on the stage that was not in the script. Nothing ever comes onto the scene that was not in the script. God wrote the script to the whole of the Aeonian times. He wrote it before it even started. And the whole thing is going along according to that script. And every single player in this great production, which is everybody, is saying their exact dialogue. No one's ad-libbing here. They are doing exactly what the director dictates them to do. They are hitting their marks every time. They're standing where they're supposed to stand. They're talking to whomever they're supposed to be talking. And again, every single word is in the script. It sure looks real, doesn't it? It sure looks real. Sure looks spontaneous. You know, the best actors in Hollywood, they can make a story in a movie seems spontaneous, can't they? Don't you buy into that deception? Every time you watch a movie, you're buying into the deception that these people are acting spontaneously. Wow, that person's crying because she found out that her husband was just killed. Ah, and then you start to cry. Why? Because it looks so convincing. Do you remember that show back in the 60s, Julia? Julia was a black nurse. I can't remember the name of the actress, but it was a groundbreaking type of show, and there was a doctor in the show. And I remember there was an episode where the doctor died. And me, as a kid, I was heartbroken. I was crying after the show. Mommy, Julia's doctor's dead. She had to tell me, it's only a TV show. He's an actor. It's not real. Okay? He's still alive. Okay. Okay, Mommy, if you say so. If you say so. Even human beings can pull this off and make things look like they're really reacting to situations that are taking them by complete surprise. The situations in the movies aren't taking any of them by complete surprise. It's not. They all got together at a table reading before the film started, and they saw what was going to happen ahead of time, and they saw their parts ahead of time. Heard an interesting story about Jack Nicholson when he read for A Few Good Men. At the script reading, you're just supposed to go over the dialogues. I mean, all the stars are there. There's Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson. And the part where Jack Nicholson says, "You can't handle the truth," right? Great, iconic movie line. A Few Good Men. Watch it if you haven't seen it. And Nicholson would not do the table reading as it was traditionally done. During the table reading, he was just supposed to say, you can't handle the truth, Tom. You can't handle the truth. But no, not Nicholson. He totally got into his role as though it was shooting day. You can't handle the truth. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Great. Love that. Nicholson getting into it. If anybody can sell a scene, it's Jack Nicholson. Okay, answer me this. Is Jack Nicholson more talented than God? I'll leave it right there. Except for this. That the action that we're living through in the quote real world, and I'm not saying, I shouldn't put air quotes around it, I take them back. This is the real world. But it is 100% staged. Oh, Martin's into you crazy. It doesn't feel staged. I'm reacting spontaneously to spontaneous situations that come out of nowhere. Come out of nowhere? You sound like Edith Bunker over here. Hey, Archie. Archie, why do you talk that way?
Oh, shut up, Dingbat.
That was a good Edith, but that wasn't a very good Archie. I have to work on that. The whole thing has been scripted. Do you truly grasp that mind-bending truth? Isaiah 46:10. God tells the end from the beginning. I think the King James says God knows the end from the beginning. That's okay. I could live with that. But the concordant version says God tells the end from the beginning. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, God sat down at a giant table in his office before the Aeonian times began. And he wrote the most audacious, the boldest, and the riskiest, air quotes, most sensational script that the celestial world had ever seen. In fact, they were probably looking over his shoulder. Oh my God, look what he just wrote in. Look at this. That's going to happen in 1945. This is going to happen in the year 62. And God wrote the dialogue. I'm not exaggerating this. I mean, of course, I'm using the figure of speech of personification. Oh, it's actually called anthropomorphia. And it was pointed out to me by a viewer. I said anthropomorphia was Latin, but in fact, it was pointed out to me that it's Greek. It's giving God human characteristics. But anyway, roll with this. I'm painting God as a human being, which he is not. But what was happening was true. The essence of this is a fact that God dictated into the script, writing it from his own mind, from his own creativity. And boy, nobody's more creative than God. And any good novelist, sometimes novelists have the end in mind before the beginning. I can't give you specific examples, but I've heard of this. That they have this crashing, wonderful, revelatory statement to make to humanity. And they see how they want a movie to end. And so with that end in mind, they then write the script that leads up to that end. In other words, they have the goal in mind first, and then they have to come up with the process, which will logically follow through Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, to produce that result. This is exactly what God did. His goal is all in all, that he will be everything and everybody. What is this everybody? What do you mean everybody? There are no buddies. Where's the buddies of everybody? God hadn't created them yet. So he put that early into the script, scene one. Well, create humanity. Create humanity. Start with Adam. Pull Eve out. The Celestials are looking in on this. They haven't seen anything like this. What? What do you mean, pull Eve out?
Well, you'll see. Shut up. Let me concentrate.
The freaking dialogue. Everything you say has already been written in the script. Oh, it seems spontaneous, doesn't it? It seems like there's nobody controlling it. It seems like there's no director. It seems like to the majority of the human beings on this planet that they are their own directors. God's my co-pilot, really? Wow. That's so far from the truth. The truth is that there is a director actively making everything that was written beforehand in the script happen. Everything. Every word, every letter, every emotion, the way you opened your car door, the way you couldn't find your car keys. You couldn't find your car keys yesterday. Yeah, that's scene 1062 in Act 410. It's written in the script.
Gabe Alexander can't find his car keys.
In the script. And then it happens. Ooh, big surprise. Do you think Stanley Kubrick is a good director? Do you think Steven Spielberg is a good director? Do you think Francis Ford Coppola is a good director? How about Woody Allen? Of course I'm a good director. What do you think? Do you think I do all this to try to be a bad director? How good is God as a director? How good is God to make sure that the players and every single player is necessary to the script? There's not one extraneous actor or actress in this drama. And everyone is an actor or an actress. Even babies. How many babies you have, how many babies you don't have, how many miscarriages you had, it was written into the script. But the reason you cried when it happened to you is because God keeps you ignorant of the script, because he's a wise and loving God. I forgot to say this. Love overrode. Love was the impulse behind the beginning of the script. Just as I told you, the end was already settled, that God would be all in all, and that all of creation would eventually come back to God. Likewise, at no time during the writing of this script, and there were no first drafts, there were no second drafts, there was no consultation. God wrote it himself. And the motivating factor before any of it started was love. Love. Because he knows the end. And he knows that the creatures that he's going to create will be dependent on contrast for their knowledge of the world, for their knowledge of themselves, and for their knowledge of him. And he created a drama that is imitated today by every single artist. That there is a beginning and a middle and an end to every story, whether it's Shakespeare, Walt Disney, anybody, any novelist, Hemingway, they have a beginning, a middle, and the end. And the beginning, the characters of the drama are introduced. In the middle, they all get into some horrible trouble, some terrible trial that is going to vex their souls and cause them to rise up and conquer it. And then at the end is a great resolution. Do you know why all these authors and screenwriters do that? It's because it is God. It is one of the ways we are created in the image of God. In the image of God. Shakespeare, in the image of God. Kubrick, in the image of God. Coppola, in the image of God. In that they know the basic elements of the drama because God wanted people during the Aeonian times who would imitate what he did so that we could consider it. Maybe today you're considering it for the first time and we could say, Is this kind of like what God does? Or am I mistaken to think that Steven Spielberg might be greater than God? Now, Steven Spielberg is not greater than God. God is the ultimate author, the ultimate director, the ultimate screenwriter. And so, when you are vexed in this world to the point that you say things that you wish you hadn't said, I understand that. There's a genuine, there's a place for regret, and there's a place for repentance. That is changing your mind about things. There's a place for apologizing to people when you misspeak, when you treat someone poorly. But you cannot let any of these things, even crimes you may have committed and are paying for, you can't let any of these things destroy you as a person, because you must know that that act and those words were in the script before you were even born. We are thrust into roles of inevitability. We are thrust into roles that we did not cast ourselves into. Read Romans chapter 9. It's all there, really. It's all there. God is the potter. We are the clay. God has the right, as the potter, to make vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The vessel doesn't decide. God takes from the same lump of clay, one lump of humanity. There's no good humanity and bad humanity. It all sucks. It's all a lump of clay. It all sucks. Romans chapter 3. And God takes that lump and he twists one piece off of it and he makes an ashtray. He twists another piece off of it and he makes a beautiful vase. And we go through life completely condemning the ashtray? Yes, we criticize it. Yes, in our soulish condition, we sometimes speak as though it's their own stupid fault. But let's take the higher view, is that they are only acting out what God wrote for them in the script. And so, if you are a vessel of honor, and let me assume that you're watching this show, so you're a vessel of honor, you can get on your knees and weep tears of thanksgiving. God twisted your lump of clay, your little piece of clay off the lump, and he said, this one's going to be good. I'm going to make this one a believer. I'm going to take this one into my immediate special care. I'm going to care for everybody else. I'm the savior of all humanity, but I'm especially the savior of this little piece of clay that I tore off that we call believers. So you are called out from the mass of the lump of clay that is known as humanity. And it's no accident that you were. It was according to the premeditated plan of God. You did not instigate it. You do not continue it. You do not perfect it, because it was written in the script ahead of time. I do have a scripture verse for that. It's Ephesians chapter 1. Designated beforehand for the place of a son, for the delight of God's will. He is the one delighting in us. He is the one delighting in our roles as vessels of honor. And even in his own way, he's bearing, the scripture says he's bearing with much patience vessels of dishonor. That's a relative phrase as well. But remember, the goal that was in mind before the script even began was that everyone would become perfected in God. All is out of him, all is through him, all is into him. And it would happen through the death of his son, which was also written into the script, which is why Peter said at Pentecost that you did only what the divine hand decided beforehand that you should do. This is the overriding truth. I hope it comforts you today. Part of the overriding truth is the fact that love animated the writing of the script. It was the impulse that began it in God's mind and in his heart. And we already know the end. You don't often get that in a movie or a book. You don't really want to know the end before it happens. But God being gracious to us, knowing that there were some tough scenes written into the script, gives us the end while we're going through it. So that as Jesus suffers on the cross, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Likewise, we must keep our eyes focused on the end. Our perfection in Christ and the reconciliation of the world to God is the joy set before us. And in contemplating that, by contemplating that, it will make our passage through these rough scenes that much easier.